Welcome to the Ray of Hope Church podcast. We believe that hope changes everything, so get ready for an encouraging message from the Word of God. We pray that you would receive wisdom and revelation as you grow in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And a good and happy Easter morning to each and every one of you. This is an opportunity that I relish simply because Pastor Matt asked me to speak and read this particular passage that would help today. I'm Rick Rogers, in case you don't know me, and soon you will, I suppose. I want you to visualize something with me as I speak. I'm turned to the others here so I can see each and every one. But I want you to visualize holding hands with our Lord Jesus on this day and joining him in taking a walk, a critical walk, on the road to Emmaus. So, now behold, two of them were traveling that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. So it was, while they conversed and reasoned, that Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were restrained, so that they did not know him. And he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then the one whose name was Cleopas answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" So they said to him, "The things concerning Jesus of Nazareth, who was a prophet mighty in deed and word before God and all the prophets, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel. Indeed, besides all this today, is the third day since these things happened. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. When they did not find his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said. But him they did not see. Then he said to them, O foolish ones and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken, ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Then they drew near to the village where they were going, and he indicated that he would have gone farther. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to stay with them. Now it came to pass, as he sat at the table with them, that he took bread, he blessed it, and broke it, and gave it to them. And then their eyes were opened as they knew him, and he vanished from their sight. And they said to one another, Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked with us on the road, and while he opened the scriptures to us? So they rose up that very hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, The Lord is risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.
Amen, amen. Would you stand with me as we pray? In the name of Jesus, our hearts are bowed. Speak to us, Holy Spirit, in only a way that you can. We are here for a day of celebration that our God lives. It's through your revelation that we gain that revelation, Jesus. So speak to our hearts, make us like you. Thank you for this opportunity in the name of Jesus Christ. And everyone says, amen, amen, amen. Look at your neighbor, give them a high five. You may be seated. Say, happy Resurrection Day. You guys are so beautiful. I do want to embarrass two people, and I cannot do this. I'd be remiss to do it. Pastor Mike and Carrie, would you guys stand up for me? They're way at the back. Let's give them a hand clap, I'm telling you. Our senior pastors lost their seat in the front row. I guess they didn't get there quick enough. But just for today, that seat's there. The good news, we didn't have any pew patrol, so, you know, they just kind of got stuck. But if you look around and see the many things, we are indebted to their leadership and our elders and our deacons, and I just so grateful for that. Well, thank you for being here on this Resurrection Day. I appreciate Rick reading. How many of you guys love to read long sections of the Bible? Okay, how many of you love to read long sections of the Bible when you're called out at a minute's notice? Okay, I got a video here that's going to help us out that'll kind of show my heart why we had him read today. That's what you would have got. I would have tried, but I've been like, and man, and the people, Jesus, I vanished. So, Sunday school teachers, next time you're in Sunday school, don't give them the hardest passage of the Old Testament to read. Most of the teachers do that because they don't want to read it. No, I'm just playing. They probably don't. That's what you would have got if I would have been here. So, I'm glad he wrote it. He read it for us today. We appreciate Rick for sure. My wife was telling me a story the other day. She said a family was going on vacation, true story. And they were getting all their things together, and they decided, you know, we're going to go to Hawaii. That's our destination. So they scratched up their money, and they saved, and they did all that you have to do to go on vacation. Finally, they got their money, and they realized, okay, we can go. So they bought the plane tickets. They went to, they got the hotel rooms, and they figured out the beaches and the excursions and all these type of things that you do. The clothes that they needed, man, they were excited. They bought it all. And then about 2 weeks before they were going to take off, they realized they forgot one very important thing. They did not plan for transportation once they got on the island. They could get there, but how were they going to get around? So they begin to think and begin to scrape up a little bit more money and do what they can. Well, the good news is they went ahead and went on the vacation because, you know, if you start canceling flights and all these other things, I mean, that can add up to a lot of money. So they went ahead and went anyways. I'm telling you, man, they had a great time. They had pictures to prove it and all kinds of wonderful things. They were coming back and they were sharing it with their family, and they had a story to tell. They checked out Uber. Nope, Uber's too expensive. Checked out taxis. No, those were more expensive than Uber. But what they did find is they found out that if they rented a U-Haul truck, they could go from place to place to place. Could you imagine that with me? Like, we just took the road down to Emmaus, right? You're rolling up into the beach, mom and dad's in the truck. What's up? You know a dad would be digging this, right? The door raises up, clink, 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 clink. Four or five kids pop out with lawn chairs at the beach, man. You pull up to the nice restaurant, clink, 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 you know? Hey, but they made it. They made it. Well, my heart is simple. Thank you for making it here today. I don't know how you got here. I don't know why you're here, but I'm glad you're here. Maybe you came because family came. Maybe you were here at the event yesterday and you said, you know what? I want to come up here and check this out. Maybe you were driving by and the Spirit of God spoke to you to stop. And hey, thank you so much for being here. And it would bless me to walk out in the parking lot and see a couple U-Hauls. That'd be okay. Make the story fun. But however you got here, thank you so much for being here. We want you to relax and enjoy it. Sometimes when there's this many people in an auditorium, how do I act? How do I think? Hey, we're kind of a talk-back church. So if I say, give me an amen, what do you need to do? Yeah, 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 yeah. You like my wave? That's a Lane Frost wave, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. It makes it better. Kind of a talk-back. So just sit back and relax in the sense of resting in the presence of God. And we're here for one purpose today, and one purpose is to celebrate our risen Savior. Amen. The tomb is empty. The clothes are folded. He is no longer in the tomb. He kept his promise. Amen. And he lives. He lives. He lives within our heart. As I was thinking back over this story, there's a couple things that I want to break out. I want us to help understand why it's so important that we serve a living Savior. And today, it's not going to be so much of a historical approach. In some ways, we know why we're here, because we know that today, through all the Easter eggs and the pretty dresses and the chocolate that we'll get on those pretty dresses and stuff like that, all that type of stuff, we're here to celebrate our living Savior. I don't think there's anything wrong with that other stuff. I just think we got to keep the focal point, amen, and that's Jesus. Go ahead and have a good time. In fact, we have several areas around here that you can take pictures with. And we want you to enjoy yourself. We want you to be here, but let's turn our minds and our attentions to what Christ is saying in Scripture, and he shows us some pretty interesting things. Now, there's no way to exhaust this, there's no way to exhaust this study. I mean, the resurrection in one 30-minute sermon, and I know it's Easter, and that's about what I have, right? TikTok, I understand that too. I've been where you're at, and I was like, TikTok, you know? But here, there's a couple interesting things that I want to bring out, and I want to help you understand as well as me understand that because we have a risen Savior in our heart, there's some things that we don't have to worry about like the world has to worry about. But let me tell you something, if you do not have Christ as your Lord and Savior, and as was sung earlier, you have Muhammad or Buddha or Socrates or money or idols or whatever it is, listen, that stuff won't work. It's only Jesus Christ that satisfies the deep part of her soul. That's it. You can look and look and turn the world upside down, and you won't find anybody like Jesus. Amen. You won't find him. Now, don't get me rolling here, guys. First thing, as I look in this story, it encourages me because I understand that I don't always have to understand. In the world today that we live in, man, you have to know. You have to always understand what you're going through, and let's tack into the emotions and all this other stuff, and all that's important. But as we look and catch up with these disciples, we realize that we will not always understand. Man, we just will not understand everything that God is doing all the time. But we take pressure, and I want to take some of that pressure and some of that anxiety, maybe even some of that fatigue off you, because you serve a risen Savior that walks with you day to day to day, amen? It's not just some old words. He's just not a relic. It's not something that somebody good once said or something like that. He's not dead bones in a cave. Oh, but it's alive in our soul. It's alive. Day by day by day. I don't always have to understand, and I'm okay with that. I'm okay with not understanding everything. These disciples had to be. Luke chapter 24, verses 14, 15, as they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened as they talked and discussed these things. They were trying to figure it out. Have you ever had something happen and you're just trying to figure it out? That's where they were at. I mean, it got really real to look up on the cross and see your Savior, see the one that you deem Messiah, beat beyond recognition. Blood running down the cross, and he did it for our sins. What an eye-opening moment. And then you remember the teachings to some degree. The tomb is empty, and now you're trying to figure it out. I don't know about you guys, but I'll probably be discussing this with some of my friends too. Well, there's many things in our life that happens like this, and I want to encourage you, because we serve a risen Savior, because we get to celebrate a risen Savior, we don't have to understand everything, because he will walk with us and he will talk with us day after day after day. So our hearts are full of gratitude. Now, there's many reasons why we don't understand. Sometimes we don't understand because we make a really bad decision. Anybody made any really bad decisions? Yeah, we're all in the same boat there. Sometimes we're blind and we don't understand. We did something we thought was good, turned out to be bad. Another one is sometimes the world blinds you. Sometimes you don't understand because, man, simply just the world comes at you fast. Man, you have kids, you have a wife, you have all these things, and then you have grandkids, and it seems like people are graduating and this and that. And I mean, it's just sickness or illness, just things come at you, and you don't always understand, and you're stuck in a place from the depths of your soul. You cry out, God, I don't understand. And you know what? I want to tell you, that's okay. But you got to know whom you're crying to. Amen. It's not just lost in space. And then sometimes God will cover our eyes. Luke chapter 24, verse 16, but their eyes were restrained so that they did not know him. Luke chapter 24, verse 31, and their eyes were opened. Sometimes God will be taking you through things, and what he wants you to do is not get caught up in the thing, but trust him. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5, heard it a million times. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. What's requirement number one? Trust in the Lord. My whole heart. I don't understand. I don't get it. I feel like you've forsaken me or abandoned me. And we have to be careful with those emotions, because that's whenever we start to justify and kind of lean on our own understanding. And God is saying, don't do that. Verse 17, he's talking to him. He goes, why are you so sad? You ever been sad? Their countenance had changed. Their emotions and their feelings began to, in some ways, kind of stir what was going on. And you could tell that all of a sudden, you know, whenever you get sad and your countenance changes, then your emotions change, then your mood change, and nobody really likes anybody who's moody, do they? Do not tap your husband or your wife. Nobody likes that, and it's hard to deal with. Why are you so sad? And that's whenever we have to lean in, not on our understanding, but understanding of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and don't let those things guide. Even when we don't understand, my wife was sharing another story with me. She helps me out. One of our friends needs a kidney. The other day she got a phone call. Hey, we got a kidney. It's on its way, man. We got to get you to the hospital. Got to get you prepped. Got to do all that. Because I don't know the ins and outs of that, but what I do know is there's a time frame before the organs start to fail, and we got to get them where they need to be. But something inside of her kind of clicked. It was like the peace of God, I guess is a good way to explain it, just came over her and almost said, slow down now. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Which doesn't make any sense, because if I needed a kidney and there was a kidney available, guess what I would want? Let's get this thing a rocking and a rolling. I kind of need a kidney. But people on the list were sick, and then her name rolls up. They call her and she goes in. But through a series of circumstances, the kidney is delayed and she winds up missing the kidney. But she still has the peace of God, that peace that surpasses all understanding. Well, later on, she talked to the doctors, and what she found out is she actually had an infection in her body that they didn't know about. So had she gotten the kidney, she would have had to have surgery to implant the kidney. The kidney would have been rejected because of the infection, and they would have had to have another surgery to take out the kidney. Could you imagine that? But this whole time, she's walking in peace. See, it doesn't mean that everything's going to work out. Sometimes I just don't understand. And I want to encourage you, because we have a living Savior, the tomb is empty. He walks and he talks with us. It's not some broken words on a page written by some philosopher, some great person only, but it's truly God and truly man, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we can take his words and we can hide them in our heart. And day by day, we get to walk with him. Amen. So we don't always have to understand. And that's okay. The disciples didn't understand, yet they had heard his teaching for so long, yet they were still trying to figure it out. And I want to encourage you, if you're still trying to figure out some things, hey, join in with the rest of us. But I do urge you, don't try to figure them out by yourself. You need Jesus Christ in your life. Surrendering your life to him and letting him be Lord and Savior. Now, another interesting thing that I find in Scripture, how many of you guys look for humor in the Bible? Same response as the first crowd, just me. Listen, it's funny. There's a lot of funny stuff in there, okay? I'm sorry if you've been beat over the head with it, okay? There's a lot of funny stuff in here. And as I was looking at this, it was interesting to me, because one of the things that I found is that the women were amazing and the men are confused. That's what it says. Yeah, thank you, women. Yeah, that was your chance. Nothing's changed in 2,000 years. Some of you men out there, you wouldn't know your shoe size if it wasn't for your wife. Right? Forget the color thing. We haven't graduated that far. We just need to know our shoe size. Luke chapter 24, verse 22. Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us. Isn't that awesome? The men's like, I don't know, the body wasn't there, and I thought it was going to be, now it's not. Now we're wandering around, we're trying to figure all this stuff out. But the women showed up, and they astonished us. Look at your honey and say, you astonished me, baby. Oh, yeah. Hey, if you don't have guts to do it in public, you don't have guts to do it when nobody's looking. I know. You astonished me. Sometimes we get things confused. That's what's not funny about this, is sometimes, unfortunately, there is confusion that settles in. And listen, there's a lot of confusion in the world. You better not handle it by yourself. You don't have to. There's a lot of things going on that they look one way, but it's very different. It looks good and it looks kind, but it has been driven by our enemy, Satan, who is after our soul and division. Amen. You better have Jesus. Don't be confused. Satan is the author of confusion. But sometimes we get things wrong. My sister-in-law, JC, she was here in the earlier service. It was so funny. My wife told me this story, and I've shared a little bit of it. But when she was younger, you know that old song, Victory in Jesus? You guys know that, right? Oh, yeah, some of you are like, let's do it right now. Okay, calm down. Well, sometimes she would get the words mixed up because she was learning. And it wasn't victory, and you'll never sing this the same, and it's so funny. It wasn't victory in Jesus. It was big trees in Jesus, man. That's what she was singing it with all of her heart. And this was the funny part. He sought me, and he bought me. Well, she mixed that up with he socked me and he boxed me. So you can imagine. And my wife said, oh, Matt, it gets way better than that. When it go on down that course and it says, he plunged me to victory. He punched me to victory. Good gosh. Like, what's your view of Jesus? You know what I'm talking about? My goodness. I mean, but some of us have been there. Hey, when you find victory in the Lord, sometimes it feels like you've been beat up with a baseball bat, doesn't it? But you got it. Maybe her theology was a little bit more correct than we think. Yeah, could you imagine her acting out? He uppercutted me to victory. It's so funny. Sometimes we get it confused. Thank God our heart is in the right spot. Perfect praise from children. But confusion is easy. And although that story is funny, it's not funny to be lost and confused in a dying world. We don't want you to be confused. There's one way, and his name is Jesus. Oh, broad is the way. Broad is the gate that leads to destruction, but narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. Oh, and it's not just eternal life with a dead God, but our God lives, amen? He'll walk us through the gate and walk with us. That's what we celebrate. We don't have to be confused. We don't have to be confused by the things in the world. Paul's writing to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no one can lay a foundation other than that which is laid, which is who? Jesus Christ. See, confusion can set in really easy because the Bible lets us know that, man, there's a lot of sand. Sinks from time to time. Can be around you. And many times what it is we're going back to the foundation so we can make sure our feet's planted in the right spot. Sometimes it's not always as big a move as you think. Sometimes it's just checking out and saying, where's my hope? Where is my faith? Has my hope and faith kind of waned on some of these worldly things, or has it stayed put where it's at? Maybe I need to step a little bit right or step a little bit left or get my heart in check and make sure that I'm on the firm foundation of Jesus Christ, the living cornerstone, amen? He lives in our hearts. So God, I want to make sure that I'm where you want me to be. See, in the world that we live in, there's so many things that change and so many things that's undependable and people that are certainly not dependable either. Governments and all these different things. You better be careful where we have our hope in. James chapter 1, verse 17 helps us by saying he never changes or casts a shifting shadow. It helps us understand that the living God that we serve is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's alive and he is the same. So please don't put your hope in anything else. You don't have to stay in confusion. You don't have to stay there. Jesus is calling you unto him. As we continue the story, we see that waiting is worth it. That waiting is worth it. Whenever we put our hope and our faith in Jesus, waiting is worth it. Sometimes we have a tendency to speed up the process. Sometimes we have a tendency to do things and put things out of our control and say, God, I'm going to cut a corner here or do this. And God is telling us, no, to wait. Think about this. Luke chapter 24, verse 30 and 31, it says, now it came to pass. There was a season in there where nothing was passing. But finally, it came to pass. They got to break bread with Jesus, and then he vanished. I mean, you talk about a miracle. Think about how awesome. You talk about having a story to tell. Well, God's not done writing your story either. Because you got to give him your heart. How many of you guys have ever had one of Sister Cheryl's roles? Yes. Look around. You guys are awesome. I've had a bunch of them, okay? I go eat her rolls or I go to Texas Roadhouse, I will embarrass you, okay? I got to restrain myself. I'm being honest now. I asked her if I could have the recipe. That's kind of what I came up with there. So I actually, this is kind of one that I kind of made look like it. I had kept up with the one that I'd made for an entire week, and I told Mary and Callie, I said, hey, I'm going to use this as an example on Sunday. Y'all don't eat this. Mary looks at me. She's like, well, we're going to eat your roll anyway. So I'm like, hey, I'm going to, it's kind of probably moldy. I had it wrapped up in my plastic, and I had it saving it, and I was telling them, don't eat it, don't eat it. Well, that wasn't an issue. But I put it on my Bible last night on my kitchen table, and I thought, I'm going to put it here. It's wrapped in plastic. I'm going to remember it. What I'd forgotten about is I have a puppy named Murphy. Murphy is not very big, but he's big enough to get up on the table. And I found the remnants of my roll that I made outside on, I brought it for proof, okay? That was all that was left. And so I kind of had to, so you heard about the dog eating your homework. Well, the dog ate my illustration, and that's a real thing. But to be honest with you, it's about what it's like right here. I mean, it was kind of flat, kind of like a hockey puck, you know, pretty dense. She sent me the recipe, and I was like, you know, I'm going to kind of pretty much do what it says to do. And the only problem with that is whenever you do what you think you should do and not what the recipe calls for, you get that instead of what you're supposed to have. We better wait on God. Don't speed it up. She taught me something as she was teaching me to cook. She said, now, isn't that awesome? Isn't that a beautiful muffin? Look at that muffin top. Who doesn't like a beautiful muffin top? Not on us, do we? We cover those up. But on the muffin, it's a good, oh, come on now. Yeah. Beautiful muffin top, man. They smell so good. You guys are hungry, I know it too. But you have these muffins, and she taught me something. She said, Matt, she said, now it's very important that you do this. She said, whenever you mix it, it's important that you do it a certain way and you wait. And she said, there's this thing called proofing, and she explained it to me a little bit. She said, whenever you get all your mix together, you have to let it set until it begins to build to twice its size. It's going to expand with the ingredients in it. You can tell how much I've done this with the ingredients in it. Yeah, with the yeast. She said the yeast will cause it to expand. That's probably the reason why mine looked like a hockey puck. I'm just saying. Hey, you got to learn how to do it, baby. And mine didn't turn out like this, but she said, Matt, in the midst of the proofing, and what the proofing is to see if that yeast will actually do what it's supposed to. It's going to expand, but she said, it's very important that you do something. She said, whenever it expands in the bowl, I need you to take it and punch it. I mean, this is my favorite part of this whole deal. Relieve some stress. You got to punch it, Matt. The Bible teaches us about the promises of God. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it says, for all the promises of God in him, which is Jesus, are yes and amen. And in him, amen, to the glory of God through us. His promises are proof. We can trust them. He said he's going to raise again on the third day. Guess what our Lord and Savior did? Yep. Said he was going to be crucified, said he was going to be handed over, said he was going to do all those things. He did it. But this is the hard thing about being in the midst of a promise. That proofing is going on. And I got a question. Have you ever been in the midst of what you felt like God was telling you to do, and you felt like you just got punched out of left field? Man, you're rising to the top. Some great things are happening. Relationships getting better. The job's getting better. Whatever it is. And man, all of a sudden, bam, you get punched. See, Cheryl had to teach me something else. She had to say, now, listen, Matt, after you punch the dough, you're not done. This next stage is critical. She said, you got to take the dough and you got to begin to tear it apart, and then you got to form it into dough balls. And then what I want you to do is I want you to set it in the muffin tins. And she said, I need you to wait again until it grows and expands again, until it rises again. Many times we think that through the punch, we're done. Now, there's a lot of stuff, a lot of ways we can get punched. Sometimes it's our own fault. We knew better than doing it, or maybe we didn't and our eyes were blinded and now we know and we've been punched. Maybe it was because of just something the world threw at you. Maybe it was something that somebody else threw at you. Maybe it felt like a punch, but what God was doing is trying to teach you in the process, kind of restraining your eyes, because I've got something, we would call it a testing phase. I've got something greater that I want to release in your life, but you're really not ready for it yet. I want to encourage you this morning, because we have a living Savior in our heart, and you can too. I want to let you know there's a second rise left in you. I know you feel like you've been beat up. You feel like the world's come against you. You're sitting there in your pew thinking, Matt, you don't know the things that I've seen. You don't know the things that I've done. You're right, I don't. But what I do know is the blood of Jesus Christ that ran down the cross can cover all those sins, faults, and failures. His mercies are new. In Lamentations 3, it teaches us that his mercies are new every morning. So I know you feel punched. I know you feel beat down. But I want you to know there is a second rise left in you. Romans chapter 6, verse 8. Now, if we die with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. It's a promise. You've given your heart and your life to Christ, buried that old person. You rise and you become more and more like Christ, and you truly begin to live. You have to ask yourself, what is the punch, though? Because the reality is, sometimes once that punching happens, we can't forget that God, like a good baker, knows how hard to punch that. I did not know how hard to punch that. And I did not get the product that I could have gotten with patience and trusting the process. God, I trust you. I'm going to wait and see what you're doing. I don't understand. The truth is, I might even be a little bit confused. But one thing that I'm not confused about is you are my firm foundation. One thing that I'm not confused about is you live within my heart. And that's good enough for me. So I'm going to trust the process. Now it came to pass. You need some stuff to come to pass in your life. You got to be a little bit more patient. It's not fun to wait, is it? It's not fun to push ourselves away and say, hey, we're going to restrain ourselves from this. But with all due respect, your choice. I mean, it was pretty good. But forgive my English on this, but ain't nothing like the real thing. See, that really brings me to my next point, only Jesus. See, when I read in this scripture, one of the things that I find is it's really only Jesus. Luke chapter 24, verse 32. And they said to one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us on the road and while he opened the scriptures to us? There's a lot of stuff out there that you can burn for. You can burn for relationships. You can burn for material things. You can burn for pleasures. You can do all that. But hear our hearts today. There's nothing like the real thing. Only Jesus. Only Jesus can burn up the things in your life that will lead you to destruction and set in fire inside of you him, which will lead you to eternity and life more abundantly. While he burns it out, he can set you on fire and you'll have a true burning for him. But it's only Jesus. The things of the world, although they pull at us and they invite us, and we all have those things we have to shake off. Did not our hearts burn within us? Only Jesus can make that happen. And if you're here today and you said, Matt, there's been a lot of things that I've filled my life with. Hey, I want you to know, you're not on an island by yourself. A lot of people have done that. A lot of people have searched the world over, and we all have things in our life that we've latched onto when we should have been latching onto Jesus. And guess what we found out? Only Jesus satisfies that hole in our heart. Oh, there'll be some pleasure. There'll be some things temporarily, but when you're talking about the long run, only Jesus. Amen. Our heart burned within us. Does your heart burn within you this morning for the living Savior? Because it can if it doesn't. The amazing thing about Jesus is he proved on the cross that there's nothing that he wasn't willing to do that we could ask him into our heart and we could have a life in him. Paul puts it like this, it's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. It's not pleasures that live in me. It's not the things of the world that live in me. Those things can't share residence with Jesus. Only Jesus has our heart. So where are you at? Could it be today? I'm so glad you're here by the many ways that you got here or why you came. Thank God that you're here. But if you haven't surrendered your heart and your life to Jesus, let me tell you, no day to do it like today. But that has to be your decision. Jesus, I don't understand it all, but what I do understand is that I need you in my life. I need you to be my Lord and Savior. And here's my life. Please take it. But if you're a brother or sister and you say, you know what? I got some burning going on that I don't need to be burning. Paul wrote about it. He talked to people who weren't married. He said, some of you dudes need to get married because you got some burning in your life that's not healthy. Oh, it's in the Bible. Come on now. Don't be acting all holy. We've been young and burning before. Burn with passion. Well, there's several things that we can burn after. But God, let my heart burn for you. Do you need to lay something on the altar, something on the table today and say, God, take it away? Maybe you feel like you've been punched, and that's the reason why you're saying, I'm going to come to the altar today just to get renewed because I know that God loves me. But this doesn't happen because he's a dead God. It happens because he is a living Savior. The tomb is empty. Would you stand with me?
We are so thankful you joined us today. We would love to hear from you at rayofhopepodcast@gmail.com. Let us know how you were encouraged and how we can pray for you. Remember, Christ in you is the hope of glory, and hope changes everything.